Welcome to East Meets West, episode 51.
51?
5150.
Yes. So we're on a whole number, 5-1.
5-1. A prime, no?
It is, because I can't think of a divisor other than 1 and itself.
Yep. Me either. Thanks for letting us take last week off.
It was an emotional roller coaster.
We actually sat down on Monday and started to try to record one, and we just couldn't get through it.
Yeah, it was very brief.
Yeah, it was brief, and we almost posted it, and then we decided not to, because I'm sure you can understand why. Anyway,
it is, you know, lots of things have been happening since we last spoke.
True, true.
There are new initiatives in the Middle East.
Yes.
Turkey has been rolled out of so far of talks with the EU after again coming into the loggerheads of whether or not the Turkish side of Cyprus should have its ports open to the other side of Cyprus and I think Greek goods in transit.
Cuba has insisted that Fidel Castro does not have cancer.
Even though he has not been seen. Yes, that he's not dying. Hugo Chavez is expanding his influence by using the petrodollars and the high dollar, of course.
There were like 16 elections.
Yes.
All around the world.
There was.
Brazil and Mexico.
Brazil and Mexico. Well, the Mexican one was already decided, but it was only recently
was
that Calderon actually took office, much to the chagrin of Mr. Obrador, I can't pronounce his last name, who insists that his loss was due to quote-unquote perhaps
bad fielding and a lack of a right-hitting power hitter.
Ballot stuffing, you know, the whole thing about, you know, corrupt election or corrupt or fraud.
Fraud with peril.
Fraud and flawed elections. Who else?
Oh, and then George Bush, the president of the United States of America, has decided not to change anything about Iraq until after the first of the year.
Yes, even after the grand poobahs of former diplomacy.
Because the Hamilton...
James Baker.
Hamilton Baker report came out and suggested some changes to be made.
Although, you know, it's kind of interesting because, you know, just skimming, I actually haven't read... I've basically read the condensed version that everyone does because no one actually that I know of has the time or the initiative to dwell deep into the line-by-line item.
I mean,
the thing is a bestseller. It's a book.
That stuff always is, though. You know, Pentagon Papers.
But how is it considered 70s. A bestseller? I mean, do you have to sell so many copies?
It's in the top 10 or whatever of the selling books for the week.
But I mean, like, isn't that stuff given away to members of, you know what I mean?
Well, to members of Congress, right.
Yeah.
But they actually publish it as a paperback and sell it to the public. So that's what makes it a bestseller.
Can I get this a PDF?
I don't know.
Searchable PDF?
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yes, that would be awesome. Then I could jump around and pick up points that I don't agree with.
There you go. I bet it's out there as a PDF somewhere.
I'm sure it is. Because if you think about it, I wonder how much they charge, what, $12, $19.99?
For a paperback? Well, I'll look it up in a sec. Here, I'm going to actually look and see if I can find an online version of it.
But and of course, you know, one of them was to form a broad consensus with Iranians and Syrians. And of course, at the same time, Iran has been under the auspices of President the president of Iran. I can't pronounce his name.
And they're having that Holocaust Disbelievers Conference.
The Holocaust.
There it is. I found the PDF. Well, it's like the second search on Google.
Technically, it's not the Disbelievers Conference. It's more of a
skeptics.
Yes, a skeptical look at what has been proffered by many.
Unbelievable. David Duke was there. Do you believe that?
But did you look at him? He looked kind of, I mean, just besides him being David Duke, he looked like he had some major work done.
Yeah, he looked plastic. Oh, here it is. Here's the.
Oh, is it? It's the actual PDF?
It's the PDF right there.
Oh, nice. Oh, I'll have to download that.
I just searched Hamilton Baker Report on Google.com. It's the second link.
Oh, cool.
Done. And then I bet Frugal will tell me how much it cost in paperback. $7.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's cheaper than
$9.99 is the list price, but you can find it cheaper.
That's cheaper than most college texts. that you have to buy, even the ones that the teacher publishes themselves in the little crappy-ass ring.
Okay, this is hilarious. The $10 is the list price, and the Museum of Broadcasting sells it for $11.
Maybe the $1 is a donation to the museum.
Wow, that's hilarious. And, of course, Barnes & Noble is selling it for $8.76.
Wow. I don't know. It's interesting. I mean, the whole region is awash in conflicting interests.
I've been a believer that there needs to be an international group come in and administer Iraq for quite a long time.
Yeah, but see that itself brings in its own issues, because when you say international, do you mean a broad consensus?
I mean under the UN. Yeah,
but I mean, but see, you're who. Who would technically would allow that? I mean, if you take in the whole constituent of the UN, all the nations, there's a good number of them actually who do not want. I mean, as you can see in Darfur in Sudan, there's been, especially with the Soviet Union, Russia and China, where they've been dragging their feet in that issue. So
it's similar to Bosnia, I think.
Yeah, but Bosnia was a different case.
True.
Because all the surrounding nations agreed.
Yeah.
As opposed to Iraq, where they don't agree.
Mm-hmm. Well, but you're not going to get them to agree until you try.
Oh, no.
Nobody's even tried to get them to agree at this point. The U.S. has just done it their own way.
It's true, but at the same time, I mean, you remember where Saudi Arabia has already said that if the U.S. does withdraw forces, it will support and arm in terms of both cash and I'm not sure if actual munitions, but
I didn't know. No, I hadn't heard this.
Yeah, it was like late last week. Saudi Arabia threatened to support the Sunnis in Iraq if the U.S. was to pull out. Now, the thing is, most people don't understand is that historically, the Persians and Arabs have always had animosity,
right?
Outside of religion. Now, once you add religion to the mix, that just makes it all the more volatile, and especially since you have your different sects of Sunni and the Shia, and of course, each Arab state, of course, wants its own piece of the pie. So, whether or not you'll see kind of a conflagration of more, you know, basically you have it's a Sunni versus Shia thing. That's basically a bigger version of the Persians versus the Arabs.
I think that makes it all the more important that it become an international
affair. Firmly believe that Iraq should just get split.
Yeah, I imagine that it will end up being partitioned
even,
at some
even
point.
Even in Yugoslavia, that's what happened, right? If most recently, I mean, Kosovo was...
Can we bring back Mesopotamia as a country?
Well, Mesopotamia was a region. There was different
areas. No, let's make it a country then.
Well, see, that's the problem. Iraq was made in the first place.
Well, let's make it between the Tigris and Euphrates.
Iraq was...
As a theme park.
Iraq was cobbled together by the British because they needed... originally, they wanted the...
We'll call it Babylona Land.
Yes, I'm sure they'll enjoy that.
Ride the Akkadian coaster.
Wait, is the Tower of Babel located somewhere or other?
In Babylon, yeah.
It could be like a giant radio antenna with like little cell towers sticking out.
I imagine the Tower of Babel ride would be some sort of like big, one of those drop rides where
you know what happens is when you drop, instead of screaming, everything comes out in gibberish.
Yeah. But Hammurabi. You could have a Hammurabi sandwich at the...
You could have the Marduk Theater. Like where base, you know how like all theme or theme parks have like their, you know, they have your rides and then you have your games, but you'll also have that theater show like where they do the stunts and stuff,
mm-hmm.
like the stunt show. They could have, you know, Marduk was like the
yeah theater. Yeah Marduk
or,
theater
or you could have the Gilgamesh, you know, epic, you know, fort, you know, told yeah. and like, you know, in a
well, I was also thinking the food court could be called the Gilgamesh Hall.
Ah. And the sandwich would be bull of heaven.
Oh yeah, the Hammurabi sandwich.
No, I don't think so.
No,
it would be a pita bread, and I'm not sure if that it would be a roll. I think it would be a roll, or it would be shawarma, or not shawarma. That's not me. I
don't know if they can hear that. I can't hear it on the headphones. There's somebody driving by with their stereo blasting, rattling the windows.
What do you call it? You know, it's this. It's a gyro, but it's
pizza.
It's not a. It's a different vert. It's a, you know, different name for the gyro. No, pita's the bread. You know what I mean? Like in different countries around the Mediterranean that all have something like a gyro, but they all call it different things.
You mean with the lamb and everything?
Yeah.
Oh no, I don't know what else a gyro is called.
Yeah.
A gyro.
I want an auto gyro or euro.
An auto gyro.
Give me one of them gyros. And
I'll take a gyro with a slice of pit tomato in it, please.
And then, of course, we're heading into the holidays. People have been buying stuff. I bought everything through Amazon. Actually, I only bought like a few things through Amazon and just had them shipped out to wherever so I don't have to worry about lines.
I bought the FM tuner for the iPod today for myself.
That's cool.
It's $44. It was ridiculous. But
does it work?
Yeah, it works. It works well. And
so why so glum?
Because it's, I mean, $44
for
an accessory that should be built in, but...
Instead of buying a $12 transistor radio?
Yeah, I know. Well, and see, that's the thing. They connect it, the FM transmitter, to the dock outlet.
Uh-huh.
So that, yeah, I was like, if they just connect it to the headphone input, then you could just use any FM transmitter. So you could probably hack that
Is that from
cord.
Is that, that's the Apple official?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why.
Mm-hmm. Of course, yeah.
Why would you do that?
The remote works is nice, though. It's nice not to have to dig down. You can put your iPod down in your pocket, and you can flip tracks and pause and
Or you can get the shuffle and just clip it anywhere.
Yeah, well, that's true. But then I can't have my millions of songs, my
millions
8 days
of
worth of songs.
Now, of course, this being the holiday season, there are, of course, the obligatory, you know, end-of-year holiday movie blitz where you're inundated by... both crappy and semi-good movies.
I haven't really paid attention to any of those this year. I actually downloaded 10 episodes of Heroes from iPod, and someone at Buzz Out Loud made fun of me for paying $1.99 when you could stream them for free on NBC.com, but I wanted to watch them on my iPod, so I bought them. Whatever. And then I've been watching Stargate SG-1 on the web.
Which you know what, I have the first six seasons on DVD.
On DVD. I started watching the first season. I'd never actually seen the first episode of Stargate SG-1.
It's actually kind of interesting.
It's really good, yeah.
No, the thing is, and the problem with me and all these sci-fi series, is after a certain number of seasons, they all turn to Star Trek episodes.
Yeah.
Basically, it's like there's an out-of-body experience, transferal of minds, a misunderstanding of races that look way too much like human races.
Yeah.
It's like, come on.
I just watched this afternoon. I watched the one where the fish creature steals Daniel Jackson and implants memories and and everybody.
But see, that's what I mean. It's like some of it. That's why it was like Babylon 5. And JMS, when he wrote it, he wrote a story arc, and then they had a couple of twists and turns, but it never degenerated into a a really kind of off the beaten track. It has nothing to do with the main story arc. Kind of like. Hey, let's do one if the best one is when the cast goes back in time, either into like a previous version, like for example, Star Trek.
Right.
Trek, the original Star Trek, where do they go? They go back into before World War II.
Right.
Was it the
After World War II. They go and they crash land in the air in New Mexico.
Yes.
In near Roswell.
Yes.
And and they have to figure out how to get back get the Enterprise back. Into operation, they meet the Air Force colonel.
Yeah, and then they do the other one where they on the world on the edge of forever.
Yeah,
where Dr. McCoy and Spock and Kirk all go back in the prehistoric, not prehistoric.
Oh no,
pre-war.
The Nazi. Yeah, the one where they
not the Nazi ones, but where they saved Elizabeth Taylor or whatever.
They're in San Francisco, and they have to change the past or.
But then they do that with all the other subsubsequent Star Trek episodes.
Star Trek The Next Generation goes back to San Francisco.
That's what I'm saying.
Again. In the Mark Twain era.
Yes, and the Voyager goes back into the late 20th century LA.
Right, yeah.
I mean, come on. I mean, that plot's been so, beaten to death. And, of course, Stargate can't resist, so they have everyone go back. Oh, wait, I can't tell you because you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, don't spoil it. I've seen that one. The one where they go back to Egypt, right?
No, different one.
There's one where they go back in time and they prevent themselves from being able to go back.
Yeah,
I've seen that episode.
But no, there's another one that's like that.
Oh, okay.
But see, that's what I mean. It's just like, it's a staple and it's so cliched.
Yeah, well, you got to have a few
cliches.
Come
on. Then it's like, you ever watch, right after the end of the original Battlestar Galactica series back in the 70s?
Uh-huh. Battlestar Galactica 1980.
Remember? And they had those two guys, they had the motorcycles. It was so lame. It's like, come on.
It was very aftermath.
Yes. And it was very like, hey, let's tie it in with contemporary, the contemporary, you know, what's going on in contemporary America.
I think Lost is going to be very important in setting a precedent for future series creation. If they can hold on to their idea of sticking to it only a 4 or 5 season run, because they've basically said that they've written 4 seasons worth of material. They know the arc of the story,
yep.
kind of like Babylon 5. They know how it's supposed to end up, and they could stretch it to 5 if they need to.
But after that,
they want it to end. And,
yes.
And they've said before that a lot of them will just quit if they try to keep it going after that. So I think if they can stick to that and get the network to cancel it, you know, it's
no,
funny
no,
to sound
don't,
like
you
it.
Don't cancel it. You
to,
end
to
it.
Basically
you,
end, say,
but
like,
you know
yes,
what?
It's going to end at 5 years, and that's all you get. I think that's important because you make a lot better story. If you
exactly,
if you
I mean,
do that.
It depends on what you want to do. Do you want to make a half an hour weekly sitcom, or do you want to do a show with a definite story arc built into it?
Yeah, because it's hard to do a show with a story arc and keep it interesting when you don't know when the show's going to end.
I mean, like, because Babylon 5, I think, JMS John Michael. I can't pronounce his last name.
Uh-huh.
I have an enunciation issue.
Stravinsky?
Yeah. Because he wrote it out as a 5-year, you know, 5-year arc. He actually had to rush write a lot of the stuff into the 4th season because he wasn't sure if it was going to be picked up in the 5th.
Right.
So that season would have an ending. You know what I mean? It wouldn't be just a cliffhanger.
Right.
But, you know, when they finally got the money and the support and the backing, you know, they finished all 5 seasons. And you know what? They ended it. What they wanted to do other stuff. They tried to spin off, you know, which I bought.
Of course you did.
Babylon 5 Crusade, and of course the Legend of the Rangers, which sucked like total tortoise
did
testicles.
It really? Ooh, wow.
It was horrible. Mm. Horrible, horrible, horrible.
Straczynski is how I would say his name.
Okay.
But I might be wrong.
Cool. Well, I'll go with you, since I have not attempted to enunciate it in public.
Shall we
ever.
Take some commentaries?
Yes.
Mark Hudson wrote back on December 4th, "Hey, Tom Roger, while we use the Skype voicemail service on our podcast because it comes with paying for Skype out and Skype in, you can get free voicemail from K7.net. On Doctor Who, why must we remake every fracking thing that the Brits do well? Why not just import the shows directly and broadcast them?"
They did. What are you talking about?
Well, Doctor Who is one of the few that they have doing what he's saying, but he's talking about like The Office and all of that. You don't see the Brits doing that with 24 or Battlestar or Stargate. Import remakes.
Although Battlestar is actually
a both sucked. I hated The Office at first, but then I fell in love.
Actually, Battlestar Galactica is a cooperative between NBC and Sky.
Oh, is it really?
Because
I didn't realize Sky was involved.
Was it Sky or one of the British networks? Because NBC, or at the time Sci-Fi, which is a subsidiary of NBC, didn't have enough money to pay for all of them, or was only willing to put up so much money. So the people, the producers for Babylon 5, Battlestar Galactica, we're searching elsewhere, and they found a Sky, so basically it's co-funded. So that's why Battlestar Galactica actually gets an earlier airing over there as opposed to here.
Interesting. Did you watch the season finale?
Yes.
Battlestar Galactica?
Yes. Did you watch it?
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil it.
No, I watched it. We shouldn't spoil it for anybody who hasn't.
Whatever.
But
hey, unless you can vocally complain to me in person.
I thought it was good. I like the way that they wrapped up with some super cliffhangers at the end.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The ending bit with Starbucks seemed kind of, it's like a little too planned.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a little formulaic, especially considering what, you know, the interaction between Starbucks and the other characters in
right.
the previous 45 minutes.
True, true.
So it just seemed like, oh, geez, wasn't that well-timed.
Punter Joe says, interesting conversation on renting versus owning, but from a broad enough perspective, in a finite universe, everything is a rental. Or at least alone until they repeal the law of entropy.
Okay. Although technically, I mean, entropy will only exist so far until the entire system is.
He's just thinking long term. He can't really own anything if it's going to turn into atoms eventually.
Well, that's the thing.
But you'll turn into atoms before it turns.
Well,
into
see,
atoms.
That's the thing. Is it the law of entropy or the law of thermodynamics? Eventually, a system will settle down.
No, entropy is that pretty much Shinua Akibe, all things fall apart. Everything tends to degrade. Thermodynamics is the one.
Yeah,
where
because essentially
attempts to go to a steady state.
Yeah, that, so essentially at that point, no, there will be no more energy to expend.
Right.
So everything will just kind of solidify.
Also, this comment made my day when he posted it on December 5th. Tom, may I suggest for next year's NaNoWriMo a horror tale called Moore's Lawn about a landscaper who battles exponentially growing foliage?
How about a landscaper who exponentially keeps mowing everyone else's lawns?
Get it? Moore's Lawn?
Yes.
I love it. It's awesome. I don't know if I could write a story around it, but it's hilarious. Even if Roger isn't laughing, I thought it was funny.
Maybe if he somehow incorporated the Edward Scissorhands character into it.
Yeah?
I don't know. You want me to write the whole thing?
Cool B said he'd listen to an Eileen and Jenga cast, but I think he means Django.
Oh, Jenga cast.
Not Jenga, Django.
J-A-N-G-O.
Eileen's got her headphones on, though.
J-A-N-G-O.
She's busy. And Django's asleep. So there's not going to be a Eileen Django cast today.
It would just be...
Andy Melton points out that Gizmo Project also has free voicemail, so we could do that.
It's true.
It's a you know, we're lazy, though.
Yes.
The thing is, if we do voicemail, then we have to actually listen to them, export them.
In other words, we're trying to keep this podcast to a minimal amount of exertion.
Yeah.
Not to say that our listening public isn't worth it.
No, we're not.
Yet.
You guys are totally worth it. It's us that's the problem. It's not you, it's us. Rossi Brown says, I believe that ISPs get an exemption from the DMCA. If they don't, their end user agreements more or less ensure that the user is responsible. And then he put a link to his dog, Rusty. Rusty's very cool looking dog.
But isn't it because the EULA explicitly states you're liable for anything you do? The EULA does that.
But I think he's right about the ISPs getting safe harbor. You know, they're content neutral, so the DMCA doesn't affect them. Look at Rusty.
Ooh. Big dog.
He looks tired in these pictures because he's asleep. He looks like a cute dog, though. Django and Rusty would probably have a good time, I'm imagining. All right. By the way, folks, if you listen to this podcast and you don't know where you can leave or read the comments, sobrilliant.com/EMW is the website.
And we do encourage everyone who wants to post an opinion to do so.
Oh, and then Rossi Brown pointed out that subbrilliant.com is forbidden by his school.
Wow.
Forbidden. This page is categorized as humor. I've actually seen this before. My own high school, Greenville High School in Greenville, Illinois, blocks subbrilliant.com because of some of the stuff on Subbrilliant News. So it blocks the entire domain. There is another domain. You can go to tbabaseball.com/EMW and get around the school filter.
Wow, why is it? Why it says it's suspended categorized
as humor because you know you can't allow humor in schools.
Only educational. You know, then why connect it to the internet at all?
I know
just keep
rotten.
It a local area. You know what? Why don't you just put a proxy server and then skip the whole web browser bit and just have a bunch of links?
It's one of those filters that you know that they put in place to try to keep kids from seeing sites that they really shouldn't see, and a bunch of sites like mine get caught in it as well.
Like what site shouldn't kids see?
Porn sites at school. There's no need for them to be doing that at school.
You mean they can't?
Because they need to concentrate on their studies, Roger.
Why they can't get the porn from their daddy's collection or something like that?
Well, that may be the proper way, but when you're at school, you should be studying.
There used to be one of those.
I guess that's why they block subbrilliant.com too, because you're not supposed to be doing that either.
But there used to be a newsstand like a half a mile away from my old junior high school that used to have like the little nudie stand. Like it's a newspaper nudie mag right next to it. It's like, okay, whatever. I stole the paper out of there.
Did you really?
Yes.
You thief.
Yes.
You still steal. You steal all the time.
Yes. I steal people's hearts.
Yeah. You've stolen Django's. All right. Well, I'm wrapped. You got anything else before we sign off for the holidays?
No, but we'll probably be intermittent until the new year. We'll be at CES. So
we may get one or two in before the end of CES. CES starts January 8th. And I'm sure we'll get at least one in before then. But,
yeah, I got to drive down.
Yeah, you have to drive to Las Vegas?
With guess who?
Patrick Norton?
Yes.
Nice.
I don't think so, but yeah.
Oh, that's going to be good times. I'm gonna plant a recorder in there, stream it on the web.
I'll keep the pedal floored to the.
That would be a podcast. The yeah. Rocky and Patrick Drive Across Nevada podcast.
Holy crap! Would you look at that?
So yeah, I don't know. We'll figure out if we can do it next Sunday.
But you know what? We completed another year.
That's true.
We completed one whole year.
This is our second end of year podcast. Yes.
It's exciting. It's amazing how long we've kept it running, considering we've actually had no real motivation to do so.
No, not none whatsoever.
Other than me being in the East Bay and, you know, poking the dog.
Roger just can't keep himself away from Oakland.
No. Oakland is so the town to be in.
It is, man. I was walking around the lake today. It's beautiful.
Cold, but beautiful.
It was a little cold today, but not nearly as cold as the rest of the country right now.
Yes, the frigid Midwest and yep. the
North.
The out of power North.
Mm-hmm. All right, folks. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Happy holidays.